to go with the pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
This is a first down. Pirates.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You better go tomorrow. I can promise you that.
And it's purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
It was an unbelievable atmosphere. I've coached a long time in a lot of great places, and I don't think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. There were some times where it was deafening in there.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome into Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates and your home for the best East Carolina basketball coverage. I'm joined by Matt Semenza as we're taking a look back at the East Carolina victory over the Tulane Green Wave on Sunday afternoon. It was the Pirates 81, the Green Wave 67 in front of a little over 4,700 at Williams Arena Menchie's Coliseum, a solid crowd. That was in it pretty much throughout. The Pirates won a third consecutive game in league play. And not only did they do so, but they did so once again by double figures. Matt, what was your kind of some of your initial thoughts on yesterday's win?
Well, first thing is we finally got that breakthrough third win that we talked about last week, that elusive third straight conference win. And, you know, I think for me, Bubba, it really just looks, for whatever reason, the last three games. Now these are very solid wins, and granted, they're against kind of the bottom tier of the division. But you kind of get the sense that this team is playing with a more relaxed mindset. They're shooting the ball better. They look more confident. They just look like a much better team here this week. So hopefully, we can carry it forward.
Yeah, really hope so. And, we'll be live here on YouTube, Facebook. You know, appreciate Carmelo chiming in. You know, he's a big supporter of Pirate Hoops and barking it up for us there in Middletown. But, we'll be live here on YouTube, also Facebook Live, as well as X for the next 20 to 25 minutes talking East Carolina basketball. You know, send us your thoughts on any of those platforms. We'd love for you to chime in. But one of my initial thoughts, when we have Chuck Saye, and we'll bring that comment up here just shortly as we dive into things. But just kind of a general observation and thought, this is the way this team is playing now, is what I think we thought we were going to get all along. And fortunately, it seems like we're going to be playing our best basketball February and March.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, you're starting to get contributions from some different guys. You know, Cam Hayes, you know, when he's able to give you that that kind of bench scoring that he provided yesterday and shoot the ball, I mean, that's huge for this team. So, you know, obviously depth has been an issue, but when you get contributions from seven or eight guys, it's going to go a long way.
And just being honest, going into the matchup yesterday, certainly felt pretty good about things, but Tulane scared me because I knew how well you know, when they're clicking, they can score. They're averaging, I think, close to 80 points per game, you know, at least 77, 78, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, I really felt like we're going to have to play very well. And fortunately we did. I mean, Tulane came out red hot and I was like, oh, here we go. And, you know, they cross had a tremendous game, knocked down 5 threes. And it was the Green Wave leading 13-5 after about 3.5 minutes. And, unfortunately, you know, I guess the remainder of the way in 36 and a half minutes, they only scored 54 points. So the defense, you know, really did a heck of a job slowing down a very good offensive team.
Yeah, yeah, there's no question about it. Just like they tend to do. I mean, this is pretty consistent track record now of our defense holding the opponents under their average in the league. And another good job yesterday. And, you know, like we talked about, that's the formula for this team. You have to play great defense. You need to keep the opponent's score low. And then, obviously, listen, anytime you shoot 50% from the field, you're going to have a chance to win. And it was great to see the team shoot 50% from the field. It's not something that happens often here at ECU, so definitely worth talking about.
Taking a look at some of the individual performances from yesterday's game, you know, RJ Felton, Brandon Johnson were their usual steady selves. But then Cam Hayes had one of his better games, perhaps his best game as a Pirate. 14 points, 4 out of 6 from three. Knocked down a three right out of the gates, 30 seconds into the game. And then kind of set the tone for the day that he would have. And, you know, we'll go ahead and run over those individual numbers and taking a look, you know, at the box score here on our screen for our viewers. But RJ Felton led the Pirates, one of four ECU players in double figures. RJ in 37 minutes, 21 points, 8 out of 21 from the floor, a very solid 5 out of 12 from beyond the arc, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a couple of steals. Very good all-around performance by R.J. Felton, knocking down several clutch shots when the Pirates needed them throughout Sunday's game. Then Brandon Johnson, just a rebound shy of another double-double. Brandon has to be approaching, you know, probably 10 double-doubles this season, but 20 points, 9 rebounds, 7 out of 12 from the floor, 2 out of 4 from beyond the arc, 4 out of 6 from the line, 4 steals, 3 assists. Brandon did a little bit of everything yesterday in 36 minutes. And then you had Cam Hayes. I mentioned him having 14. Cam played 31 minutes. And Cam shot the ball very well. Not only was he was 4 out of 7 from beyond the arc, 5 out of 7 overall. And then the fourth Pirate in double figures was Bobby Pettiford. Bobby made several nice plays going to the basket, even had a big jam. And in 32 minutes, Bobby finished with 12 points, 6 out of 8 from the floor, 7 assists. And one of the numbers from a team aspect, and we'll run through all the team numbers here in just a few minutes, but 25 assists for the Pirates yesterday compared to just 10 turnovers. And Jaden Walker and Bobby Pettiford combined for 15 of those assists as opposed to just 3 combined turnovers for the two Pirate point guards. Other scores for the Pirates, you had Ezra Assar. Ezra had 5 points in 21 minutes. Valentino Pinedo came off the bench, 4 points in 8 minutes, knocked down a couple of free throws, and then also had a bucket. And then Jaden Walker had 3. Jaden, although not scoring much, I referenced those 8 assists, had 4 steals, also 6 rebounds. So even though he wasn't scoring, Jaden stuffing the stat sheet, and Sir Malanga had, I believe it was a dunk for his only bucket of the game in 8 minutes. And kind of going back to those team stats, Matt, you know, how about that 25 assists?
That's awesome to see, because, you know, too many times this year that's not been the case. So that's a really high number. Again, you're going to win a lot of games that way. And when you look at the numbers, you took care of business in almost every statistical category. You know, you out-rebounded them, the assists you just mentioned, the steals, 12 steals. That's another great number. You know, you held the turnovers in check at 10. So a lot of winning numbers there. And then points in the paint is always a big one too. And Bubba, if you could just go back really quick to the individual stats for me. You know, we talked a little bit about Brandon Johnson, you know, a few weeks ago when he was really in that bad rut and he was struggling. And we talked about him, you know, when the perimeter shot's not falling, you have to find other ways to contribute and, you know, be a valuable piece to this team. And you see some things he's doing really well right now. He's in a good rhythm the last three games. And what I like is he's looking for his perimeter shot. He's aggressive. But when they run out to him to close out on the perimeter, he's putting the ball on the floor and attacking the basket. And that makes a big difference for him when he can do that. And then I also like the fact that he hit the offensive glass hard. You know, 5 offensive rebounds for him, 9 total. So really good job by him. I think he looks a lot more comfortable than he did a few weeks ago. And then you just look at the lineup in general, Bubba. You know, you're seeing less minutes for Ezra lately. You know, Pinedo's getting a little more of a run. Malanga obviously inserted into the starting lineup. And it just looks to me, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, but this lineup looks more cohesive to me. They just seem to be the ball flows a little more naturally, and the team just seems more relaxed. So what are your thoughts on this lineup right now?
I agree, and that's a nice lead-in to this. Chuck Sae chiming in on YouTube says, I like Jaden Walker and Bobby Pettiford on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, it, you know, I think to Chuck's point, you know, Walker is, you know, he's the type of guy, he doesn't need to be taking 20 shots a game. So, you know, he'll move the ball. He'll make the solid pass. He'll run the offense. And then when, you know, obviously when Pettiford is being aggressive and he's knocking down his shot, that's a nice little 1-2 punch there. So it does seem to work. And I think Walker gives you the defensive presence with his length.
Definitely does. And, you know, I referenced, you know, some of those numbers. I think he finished with 4 assists yesterday. So Chuck also chiming in as far as the way the Pirates shot the 3. You referenced how well ECU shot on Sunday afternoon, and the Pirates finished 11 out of 22 from beyond the arc. That was one of a few things that jumped out at me. Also, the Pirates having 15 more shot attempts than did the Green Wave. You know, you see a discrepancy there. The Green Wave shooting 20 free throws compared to just 13 for the Pirates. But you had also already referenced the rebounding numbers, 31 to 22 in favor of East Carolina and 12 to 5 on the offensive glass.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's going to be the big thing for this team. That this might be stating the obvious, but if this team is going to continue to progress and start to knock off, you know, some of the top tier teams in the AAC and then make some noise in the conference tournament, they're going to have to continue shooting the 3 at a high rate. You're not going to always get 50%. That's very rare. But if you could shoot it above 40% most nights and play defense, it's, you know, you're going to have a chance in this league.
No doubt about it. And Johnny Robertson, a.k.a. Johnny Stats, chiming in via Facebook saying the Pirates are 8-0 when they have 15 or more assists. And as we've noted a couple times, 25 yesterday. JR goes on to say they have 64 assists in the current 3-game winning streak.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, that is a great number. And, you know, hopefully now we just need to continue this, Bubba. We say this after every game. But, you know, when you look ahead, and I don't want to look ahead too much here, but when you think about Rice, the first thing you think of is an empty stadium. So it's the type of thing where this team's going to have to continue to bring some energy. They cannot let that be a factor in that game. You know, it's a sign of a mature team to go into a kind of a dead environment and be able to generate your own energy. So, you know, hopefully that's something they can do this Saturday.
One of the things that before we move on and talk about what lies ahead, like you just mentioned with the Rice Owls on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock down in Houston, something that is so refreshing to see. You not only have the Pirates won 3 straight games by double figures, but in each of these games, you know, once the lead got out to 15 plus, and that's something else, you know, the Pirates have led by at least 15 in each of the last 3 games and as many as 25. The Pirates have done an excellent job of maintaining that lead. The opposition, you know, I don't think has gotten it back into single digits. If so, it hasn't been closer than, you know, 7 or 8 points. So they've done a good job of playing with the lead, which is refreshing to see because, you know, as we know, that hasn't been the case in the past.
That's a great point that you just make. And it really is an important point to talk about because, like you said, Bubba, too often in the past, you would see this team, you know, if they jump up to a 10-point lead, you're just waiting for the opponent to make a run and either tie it up or then retake the lead. So that's a great point because, I mean, you even see this in the NBA now. It is really hard to play with a big lead. You know, human nature kind of sets in. You get a little sloppy with the ball. Before you know it, the other team goes on a run and, you know, they cut it in half quick. And so I think you make a really good point. That's the sign of a team that's playing well on both ends of the floor. So, you know, hopefully it continues.
As you mentioned, Pirates next time out will be on Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock on ESPNU. And that is against the Rice Owls on down in Houston. And the next home game will be Thursday night. It'll be the painted white game against Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers, 7 o'clock tip off on ESPN2. You know, really hope that we can take care of business down in Houston, win a 4 straight game, 12, and then 8-6 in the American. And man, Minji should be rocking on that Thursday night for that painted white game against Penny Hardaway and company.
Yeah, that should definitely be a fun game. And, you know, you know, neither one of those games scare me from the standpoint of, like, I feel like we're going to be favored in both of those games. Memphis is a team that's kind of they're a fragile team right now. They are a fragile team. They got blown out yesterday against SMU. I mean, they got their doors blown off. It was never competitive at all. So that's a team that's kind of going the other way right now as we're ascending in the league standing. So, you know, again, you don't want to look past Rice by any stretch because that game makes me actually a little more nervous just because of the reasons I mentioned. Dead environment, empty stadium.
Yeah. Definitely valid points there. You know, and we've seen Rice throughout this season, you know, push some teams to the brink. On South Florida, what had to rally from 17 down at Rice?
I believe that's right.
So taking a look at the AAC scoreboard from this weekend, you know, we'll first take a look at Saturday. As bringing up the scores here, and on Saturday there was just one game, and that involved the Rice Owls, as Rice lost at Tulsa 93-82, and that made Rice 9-16, 3-9 in the American, and we'll run through the standings with league and overall records here briefly, but moving on to Sunday's action. Full slate of games. You had, in addition to East Carolina defeating Tulane 81-67, you had South Florida. This had to be a very entertaining game the Bulls winning that in-state matchup with the 24th ranked Florida Atlantic Owls, 90-86 in Tampa. At the Yingling Center, you had Charlotte defeat the Wichita State Shockers 72-61 at Halton Arena. And then you had Temple 83, UTSA 77. That was in Philadelphia. You had UAB defeating North Texas in Birmingham 71-62. And as you already noted, the SMU Mustangs just totally dominated Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers, led 58-36 at halftime, and then outscored them 48-43 in the second half to go on to a 106-79 win.
Yeah, some really interesting games over the weekend, Bubba. The other interesting game was FAU at USF. Florida Atlantic was a 5-point favorite, I believe. And I really felt like going into that game, South Florida is a very hot team right now. I feel like they were at home against an in-state opponent. A lot of buzz around that game, and they jumped up to a huge lead. They got that lead over 20. I think it was at like 23. FAU made a huge comeback, cut it down to about 2 points at the end, but USF was able to hold on. So that's a team right now that's playing really well, dangerous team. You know, obviously we mentioned SMU and Memphis. But the other team to look out for, in my opinion, is UAB. What I've noticed about UAB is what makes them tough to beat is they are a very efficient team from the free throw line, especially down the stretch. They don't miss free throws in the last 5 minutes of a game. So that's a team everybody needs to watch out for too.
It is. We were discussing this, I think it was off the air, but just the AAC tournament here in just a couple weeks or a few weeks, it's going to be pretty wide open. And the way the Pirates are playing, I mean, they're in that mix as well. It would not surprise me to see any one of probably about 7 or 8 teams. I mean, sure, you have some that are more likely than others, but, you know, any one of about 7 or 8 teams could come up and win the thing.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of parity in this conference. And, you know, when you look at the top 5 teams, you kind of feel like all of them are on pretty equal footing. Like whoever plays the best on any given night can win, in my opinion. I do think right now South Florida is the top team in the league, at least right now, based on how they're playing. So, and I feel like we're in that second tier right behind those top teams. Like I said, you know, hey, if we take care of business this week, if you beat Rice and then you take care of business at home against Memphis, you're now putting yourself in a pretty good position. I think Johnny just posted about that, you know.
Yep. Great, yeah. Great lead into that comment. Johnny Robertson, again, on Facebook saying, I didn't think it would be possible a few weeks ago, but the Pirates could secure the number 6 seed in the American Athletic Conference tournament if they keep playing like they have been lately. And so let's go into those AAC standings. And as you take a look at those standings, you have the South Florida Bulls 12-1. Who would have thunk it, as they say, prior to the season? But the Bulls, after being picked near the bottom of the league, are 12-1, 19-5 overall. And now 13-2 at the Yingling Center. And I'm glad you pointed out, Matt, how much they led that game by, because I had no idea that they had led by, what you said, 22 or 23 points.
Yeah, they took a commanding lead in that game. And then, you know, FAU just went on a huge rally and almost pulled it out. Definitely a great game to watch. And again, though, but like when you really look at it, you see those top 5 teams are kind of like the tier 1 in the conference, right? And then you look, North Texas, Memphis, ECU, and Tulane are kind of in that second tier, in my opinion. So I definitely think we are the better team over Memphis and North Texas and, you know, have a chance to sit in that number 6 spot.
Continuing to take a look at the AAC standings, after South Florida, you have the Charlotte 49ers 11-2, Florida Atlantic and SMU tied for third at 10-3. UAB, you're talking about how well the Blazers have been playing of late. They are at 9-3. North Texas, Memphis, and East Carolina all at 7-6. Tulane and Tulsa 4-9. Rice 3-9. Temple 2-11. As are Wichita State and UTSA. And we have Chuck Sae saying bracketology has got two American teams in the NCAA tournament, Florida Atlantic and South Florida. But as he mentions, also watch out for SMU. Not only are the Mustangs 10-3 in the league, but 19-7 overall.
They're just as talented as anybody in the league, you know, so I agree. I mean, they could be right there. And there's very little separation, in my opinion, between those teams.
And then John White, appreciate former Pirate pitcher, John White chiming in on Facebook. He says the most important thing here is that ECU has put themselves in a spot to really shine here at the end, which is very atypical compared to our program's history. Normally, we're fading down the stretch, but the last two or three years, that has not been the case. But let's keep that same momentum. And then he also goes on to say, tough games coming up. We've noted that, you know, how going back to when the Pirates had 8 games remaining, we said we really need to, if we were going to get to 9-9 or better in the league, then in those first 4 games that we were really going to have to make some hay, probably go 3-1 or 4-0, because those last 4 are very challenging, and then it was probably going to be, you know, hard to go better than 2-2 in that 4-game stretch. But who knows, the way we're playing right now, you don't know. The Pirates could definitely win any of them. But he says, handle Rice, and then the next 3 are tough, but in a good spot with the way we're playing, no doubt. And then going back to a comment from Chuck that he made several minutes ago, but I was waiting until we brought up the standings. He says, if we're 500 or better, do we go to a postseason tournament? You know, at this point, Chuck, I say, you know, obviously you look at our overall record, we're 14-12, but you also had that non-D1 game against Ferrum, a Division III opponent thrown in there in the season opener. So ECU's 13-12. You know, as it pertains to the net rankings and postseason play. And with that being the case, you know, obviously the NIT is out of the equation. And I think, you know, even if ECU was to go on some very improbable run here and, you know, win the final 5 games of the regular season and into the conference tournament, I still think we would be on the outside looking in as far as that's concerned. But we'd love to find out. But I think our only hope at this point is of course, the CBI. And if that opportunity arises, then we really need to, in my opinion, you know, pay to play in the CBI. And then, you know, hopefully you get some home games and you win 20-plus games and have some momentum going into 24-25.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope we can have a chance to get into that tournament. And again, you know, just that one game at a time mentality. I think everybody's making some really good points here. Rice is the type of game, and this game, you know, it kind of reminds me of one of those trap games in football. Sometimes we see, Bubba, you know, where we go on the road in a empty stadium. And I know I keep mentioning that. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's the type of game a mature team will go down there and handle business. And you know, that's the challenge in front of this team right now. You know, can they stay focused? Are they able to go into that environment and continue playing this well? Because that's a game, if you drop it, you know, when the season's over, you kind of look back and you say, oh, man, that's not the type of game we can lose in the conference. So, you know, hey, let's just we're certainly getting plenty of time off the last few weeks, Bubba. I mean, you look at this now, we have, what, another 5 days to kind of prepare for that game. So we should be ready to go.
We definitely should be. And the past, you know, midweek off, you know, that was much needed. This time, kind of mixed feelings here because the way we're playing, I would have liked to have played in the midweek. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to sustain the momentum and have a good week of practice and go down to Rice and get a 4-straight victory. You know, Rice obviously coming off a double-digit road loss at Tulsa, and we know how the Golden Hurricane are struggling. But let's take a look at some
prediction
of our
prediction on the line, Bubba. Prediction on the line for that game.
Obviously, at this point, we don't have a line, so just straight up as far as a winner or a loser, I'll say the Pirates take care of business.
But if you had to guess, I'm saying if you had to guess on a line, would you say?
Oh, ECU, if I had to guess the line,
ECU minus, I don't know. What are you thinking?
I would say a slight favorite, maybe ECU minus 2.5 or something.
All right, all right. Yeah, I was thinking ECU minus 4.5, but we'll find out in a few days.
And you're probably right, but I'm just thinking after the week off and then going on the road, and yes, we've won 3 road games this year, but just giving them a couple, 2 or 3 points for being the home team. But, you know, this look at our upcoming content that we'll provide you here in just a moment is presented by Ed Watkins Marine. Appreciate Big Ed's support of the show. Ed Watkins Marine has 2 locations to serve you in Denver and Cornelius, North Carolina, in the greater Charlotte area of our state. In Denver, they're located on North Carolina Highway 16 Business and Cornelius on West Catawba Avenue. You can reach the Denver store at 704-483-BOAT. Again, 704-483-BOAT. And in Cornelius, they can be reached via 704-498-4985. Again, 704-498-4985. Fishing boats, center consoles, family-friendly bow riders, trailers, pontoon boats, engines, UTVs. Whether you're looking to buy a new boat or repower your existing boat, they have all the popular brands. Visit edwatkinsmarine.com for all of your boating needs and tell them the guys at the Sports Objective sent you. We would greatly appreciate it. And then that upcoming content that I referenced, Ed Watkins Marine is, of course, the title sponsor of Absolute Empowerment. Tonight, we had the premiere. Go to our YouTube channel and check out Coach C's conversation with Mark Libiano, the Pirate linebacker great from the early to mid-90s. He was a senior on that 1995 Liberty Bowl team. Mark is very, very entertaining, high-energy guy, as you know, Matt, as one of your former teammates, and you certainly stayed in touch with him and you know all about the personality that Libiano has. And then on the next edition of Absolute Empowerment, I believe it's going to be East Carolina head baseball coach Cliff Godwin. Of course, when Cliff was a player, Coach C was in his first stint with the program, and then during Coach Connor's second tenure in Greenville, there was an overlap, I think, of about 4 or 5 years. So I'm very interested to hear that conversation right here during baseball season. Appreciate Coach Connors getting that lined up and Coach Godwin for coming on the program. And then, you know, we'll
see. Yeah, I got to go back and listen to Libiano's interview with Coach Connors. That's going to be a good one. Definitely, like you said, interesting personality. Mark is not one to hold back with his words, you know. I'm sure he's bringing some strong opinions, and you know, looking forward to hearing that one. And
obviously, big week for East Carolina baseball. You know, we had extra innings on Sunday night. You know, the two of us were unfortunately unable to take part in that show, but Dave and Kyle caught up with Mike Mullis, better known as Mully, and he's the ESPN Plus analyst, and they took a look back at the Pirates opening weekend sweep over the Ryder Bronx. winning 16-2, 7-0, 7-0, outscoring Ryder 30-2 in those three games. Certainly did not expect it to be that lopsided. I did think we would handle our business, but we did so in a big way. The Pirates essentially held serve in this week's polls, and now a top 15 matchup awaits. But first, a very important midweek game. Not that this is any more important than the others, but I say that, and, you know, after the Pirates went 0-3, dropping three heartbreakers to the Campbell Camels by one run a year ago, ECU will head to Buies Creek, and, you know, the Campbell fans will undoubtedly, I would imagine, you know, be out in full force for this one. And it's going to be Chris Kaler getting the start, the George Washington transfer. And he pitched very well over the weekend. And he had two innings of work and was very sharp. And let's hope that continues into Tuesday's matchup with the Fighting Camels. And then this weekend, top 15 matchup, as I referenced, with the North Carolina Tar Heels, Friday in Chapel Hill, Saturday in Fayetteville, and Sunday in Greenville. And that game at Clark LeClair Stadium is already sold out. And the one in Fayetteville at Segrest Stadium, the home of the Woodpeckers, is very near a sellout as well. So Pirate fans, get out there on Saturday in Fayetteville and gobble up those tickets. It should be quite the weekend of baseball between the Pirates and Tar Heels.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome week of baseball. Really excited to see Chris Kaler take the mound for the Pirates against Campbell. And, you know, just to your point, Bubba, that's a series we need to take control of again. You know, some tough losses a year ago, obviously, to say the least. But I'd really like to see us get that win and just kind of take control again back in our series versus Campbell.
And then on Sunday night, we will have Extra Innings presented by PGXGloves.com as we'll take a look back at the Pirates' four-game week with those matchups against Campbell and top 15 North Carolina. So that should be quite the week of baseball, and it's going to be a lot of fun to take a look back at what will hopefully be a feather in the Pirates' resume, you know, when – the end of the season rolls around, you know, with some big non-conference victories over those clubs. But, you know, for Matt Semenza, I'm Bub Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates, and your home for the best ECU hoops coverage. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll probably have you a little preview, an on-deck, if you will, episode with Scott Forbes, the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. He has been in Chapel Hill for an awfully long time after having served as the pitching coach as well as associate head coach under Mike Fox, and now has been the head coach for the last several seasons for the Tar Heels. But be sure to follow us on social media, on X at the Sports OBJ, on Instagram and TikTok at the Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. And when you click subscribe, be sure to ring that notification bell and all, so that way anytime we go live or upload new content that you're alerted on your device. But again, for Matt Semenza, I'm Bub Rosenbaum, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Sports Objective. As always, go Pirates!